Well, we shared also last week together with the group from the conference last week about the spiritual leadership in the home. And it's not so much that we are experts on it, but we have some experience, as all of us have. And we are working with some principles. We're trying to practice them. And when it comes to spiritual leadership in the home, first that comes into my mind is Revelation 7:17. In Revelation 7:17, it talks about the throne, and it talks about the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And here a picture is given of this throne being the midst of the universe. And in the midst of the center of universe is the symbol of sacrificial love, the Lamb. And when I read that somewhere, I think it was Stanley Jones, ever since it has helped me so much to understand that when we are not practicing the principle of sacrificial love, we go against life. The essence of life is sacrificial love. And that's the reason that things go wrong in life, that we are takers instead of givers. But Christ is the example of a giver. And Ephesians 5 illustrates that giving, the sacrificial love, when it has to do with marriage. There has been so much misconception about leading that I've learned, especially in Scandinavia, that I cannot talk about a wife submits to your husband. You cannot just say that anymore. But when you do that, there is an emotional barrier. What about some of you sitting over there, just sit here? Is that possible? Then I can see each one of you. Yeah? Can you just sit here? So that it's kind of nicer, because I sit here, but I feel a little bit uncomfortable that you cannot see me anymore.
The Baptist light in the back, but we'll come forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Just sit
here, you can sit here. What about
all
this?
The way
here.
To the altar.
Just sit here. That's cozy. A bit
the way
nicer.
To the altar.
Front slider.
Yeah. You take one chair and. Yeah, that's.
Firefighters? Front slider. Yeah.
So in Norway, for instance, it's so hot. And then you ask yourself the question, why is that? And I'm the type, you know, when people get a bit emotional, then I have the tendency by nature to think, well, it doesn't matter to me, I give it anyway. But I've learned that that doesn't work. Because when people are blocked emotionally, they do not listen. Communication has stopped. Why? Well, I think because of a lot of leadership was wrong. It was dominating. It was not serving. It was not loving. And the government has done a lot. You know, there are spots on television, you know, where the man has the baby on the arm and the door ring goes and there is the wife coming back from home. You know, so there is a kind of a brainwashing going on to just help people to have a different attitude towards the whole. And I think it's more satanic than anything else. But it was interesting for me to see that they could not take it anymore. But what I've learned is, start with the leader, and then things calm down. So let's just read that portion, what has to do with leadership. And it's a kind of relaxing for the women to see that when you have such a leader, it's kind of fun to follow. Therefore, let's see, it's, 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Even so, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, as Christ does the church. And because we are members of his body, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. This is a great mystery. And I take it to mean Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So this is a description of sacrificial love for the husband. Now, a couple is a team. It's helped me very much, especially last year in working in community ministry. A couple is a team. Now, sometimes is it a divided team, is it a bad team, is it a good team, but it's a team anyway. And when you want to have harmony in a team, you have to agree on roles. Now, I know what I say is very obvious, but sometimes we overlook the obvious. We had a Bible study with a couple and said, well, there is more harmony in your marriage than in ours. Well, I said, well, you know, harmony comes when you have roles and you keep your role. See, now, we have decided that I start to talk and you listen, and my wives want to add certain things, but she... So there's kind of... No. That's the role, so there's kind of harmony. Now, tonight, someone else talks, and we all listen. Or we start to sing, and then said, let's stand, and everybody stands. So we have roles. Now, we're not saying, now, has he really the right to ask me to stand, or... Yeah, so it's very obvious, but, and so we said to that couple, well, there are two possibilities. When you have roles, without keeping roles, there is no harmony. Now, the roles you can choose are the biblical roles or others. There are two possibilities. Well, they felt, since we did Bible study, why not take the biblical roles? No, it's very obvious. So it's a team, and a team should have a leader. Now, the leader serves first and serves more, like Christ. And it's kind of relaxing to accept that for both. A leader serves first and serves more. I have two points when it comes to spiritual leadership. And they are very obvious, but what I'm learning is, when you want to have more harmony in your life, then you should meditate on the obvious. Because life is there. Where the rubber hits the road, that's an expression what you use. Now, I call that the obvious. Now, the first thing is, my first point as a leader is, I am a leader. I am a leader. That helps someone very much on our staff that he didn't try to be the leader. He said, I am the leader. I am the leader. And that means I have to lead. It's that simple. A husband is the leader. He shouldn't try to be the leader. He is the leader and he should lead. Well, what do you do when you lead? Well, you think. It means to think ahead. And that's a great comfort for the family when there is a father who thinks and thinks ahead. And I think a leader also, when he thinks and thinks ahead, he should use his resources. Now, some leaders are not gifted thinkers. But I watch it all the time. You have a leader who's not a gifted thinker. He's always married to a wife who has some gifts in thinking. Have you also observed that? More practical. And not perhaps it's all that deep, but practical. He has no ideas, he has 100. And then you see two things happen. You see a leader using his resource and grow, or you see a leader having the wrong idea. A leader has to come with the ideas, and he has no ideas, so he's afraid of his wife. Now, when that could come across to all of us and all the people you help, that a leader is not responsible to come up with the good ideas. A leader is responsible that the decisions are made, that the best idea is put to practice. See, and that was said of King Saul. King Saul had been the most victorious king of history if he had used his resources, because he had a general who never lost a war. David never lost a war. Now, when you have a general of that type, you're a victorious king. But Saul's problem was that he was jealous. He could not use his resource. He could not use the love and the victorious life of David, nor could he love the loyalty, nor could he use the love and the loyalty of his son Jonathan. So he tried to kill them both. And that's what you see often, that leaders are threatened by their resources. But the very interesting thing is that most leaders who are not so practical, who have a hard time to come to reality, they're more philosophical, they choose, and God gives them a helpmate who is practical. And I think it's just God balancing out one another that we are a good team. So, to think ahead and think with others, use your resources, then set priorities. Now, I think normally men are more able to set priorities than women. Because here, pressure comes. We cannot afford 4 things, so we take 3. Yeah, but number 4 is very good. Yes, but we have no money for it, or we have no time for it. And in a family, it's a great help when there is someone who takes the responsibility to make a decision and live with the consequences. And I think that is especially for the father to say, often when you say, to say no. But in our case, for instance, we have decided to identify with the people we want to reach, as I told you yesterday. That means that we go to a church that's not good. We don't want too much influence of our pastor on our children, because our pastor is not a believer. He's more from the social gospel. But that our children have to come out of bed Sunday morning and go to church anyway. Now that's a priority you set. And we feel we should do that. But there are sometimes struggles. There are always struggles, whatever you do. But that's what I mean. And I think then a father can help. We had it with a thing like breastfeeding. That was very hard on Bauke, and so we decided with the second one, no breastfeeding. It was too hard on her. And especially in a situation like that, I think a husband often has a little bit more possibility to say, okay, yes, it is against your feelings and this and that and the other, but let's do it anyway. It's a matter of priority. The baby, yes, what's good for the baby, what's good for you, and what's better for our other child. See, that's what I mean with priorities. You have to choose. I don't know whether you have an example, Bauke, of setting priorities.
I think church is an important one, and to mention.
Yeah. And to make decisions then, huh?
Yeah.
Make decisions.
Yes.
See, that helped me. I think it was George Sanchez who once said, God will ask the husband, have you made decisions? Not, have you made them all right? Nobody make all the decisions right. But have you made decisions? There are families, they are in great need because no decisions are made. Have you made decisions? And that helped me. Yes, I have to make a decision. So that was my first point. I'm a leader, that means I have to lead. The second point I have under this spiritual leadership is, I am responsible. I am responsible. I think that sentence has helped me more than anything else when it comes to my role as a husband. I am responsible. Years ago, a pastor said on a conference like this, you know what, you are responsible. Well, that's right. See, and we didn't start that way. Bauke had her role, I had my role, and she was responsible for hers, and I was responsible for mine, and I had the right to say, this is wrong, this is what I don't like, and so on, and so on. Now I've seen, no, I'm responsible. So suppose my wife is not able to have the meal ready in time. Well, she's not able to do it. She's just disorganized. I'm responsible. She's not motivated to do it. I'm responsible. She is physically too weak. I'm responsible. So when couples come to me, you know, and there's some tension, I say, now relax. You're responsible. So whatever happens, whatever comes out, you're responsible. If you figure out that she's not motivated, you're responsible to motivate her. Then I have it also in the navigative work. Sometimes there are tensions, and then the staff is there and said, now, relax. Whatever comes out, I'm responsible. I'm responsible. Perhaps we can find some causes, but I'm responsible. And that is a relaxing thought. And it gives a lot of harmony. Can you give an example of how that works? Well, let me give you my thing. For instance, you are responsible for one. You can make a point here. I'm responsible for the household. You know, for everything: the house, the finances, the budgets, time schedules, the garden, the car, the upkeep of the house, the cleaning of the house, the relationship with the neighbors. So the cleaning of the house, the husband is responsible. So when I came home and I heard that, I thought, yeah, that's right. And I think it was with the windows. I was forgotten, but later on I heard somewhere that Bauke was quite surprised that one day on a Saturday morning, and there were guests coming, I took some water and then I washed the window. Well, I thought, okay, I think they're dirty, and it seemed that Bauke had no time for it, and I feel it should be clean. So I just washed the window. It was not a big thing for me, because all of a sudden it clicked in my mind, I'm responsible. Now, I can do several things. One is to talk with her, why didn't you do it, and figure out that she has time to do it. And another way is, you know, there are several ways. But sometimes when you're responsible, the easiest way is you do it. Huh? Isn't that right? As mothers too, you have a boy or a girl and you want to help it to have the room clean. And sometimes you make a big thing of that, and sometimes you just let the boy go and you do it yourself. So let's not just be involved in education. Just do it. But for you, it was quite something. I remember the last session.
Yeah, that was a big thing for me. He never did that before, so I wondered what kind of lesson he had had. And I felt it was in the beginning of us being a Christian, and I felt very much ashamed. And I think one time it has been after that. Many years later, you did it one time more, but most of the times I try to be to have my windows cleaned. Like, you like it, you see it more than I don't see it. When it's very dirty, I just see it, but you see it. And so I try to adapt now and to do a better job, because I felt ashamed. Mm-hmm. And later you told me why you did it, because you came from a conference, or yeah. Roger Anderson?
No, it was but I was in a conference like this, and there I heard I'm responsible.
Oh, yeah, so
I
you did it, right. You practiced right away, yes. Yeah. And yeah, that was a big help for me in understanding what it meant to be. Not that he should do the things. He has delegated so many things on my lap. But when I'm not able, or other things, I'm not willing or not motivated, he trusts me to help me in this end.
Another thing what we learned, for instance, is to have your own style. And I think as a husband, you are responsible that you have your own style and your own way of working things out. For a while, for instance, we tried to do what Roger and Dottie did, that I was quite busy and Bauke did my bookkeeping. Now, it's not much bookkeeping, of course, a little bit, what you have in house. But it's not at all her gift. And you know how things go when it is not your gift. You don't do it the first thing in the morning. And I'm the type, you know, I can go by for a month or so. It's like, okay, it's not done. All of a sudden, there is tension. For one reason or another, there is tension. And then, always, that came up. And the bookkeeping is not done. And then my wife had to do it. But since she was under pressure, it went wrong. And then I have to help her in this. See, I'm responsible, so I found out that's not her thing. She should not do the bookkeeping. Let me do the bookkeeping. It's fun for me, it's easy for me, and when there is pressure, then I start to do the bookkeeping and feel, okay, that's also done. Let her do correspondence. She's good in that, and much more motivated to do that.
See, that
makes sense, huh?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But just in accepting the roles, what others do, yeah, Dottie has a gift for bookkeeping, but my wife has not. And be careful that you don't organize your house in such a way that when pressure comes, that it accelerates, you know, that it becomes bigger and bigger. Then it became a big problem. Perhaps you can also think of ideas.
I felt so stupid. And I think I'm not too stupid, but I just felt a failure.
Yeah. And it has to do that it's not her gift.
No. And not lifting your burden. I always was afraid that there were mistakes.
Yeah.
You had to do it on Saturday evening to make everything okay.
Yeah. But correspondence, that
oh, that's fine. You almost never have to take over my correspondence. Very seldom.
And with all the people we have in the Navigators in Holland, you know, they many don't write except when they marry or when they have a baby or so. But since there are hundreds, then still you have a lot of correspondence going. But Boukje likes that. But just an example that you can work things out.
I might add, too, that sometimes you want to share. Lori and I, for a while, we're doing kind of our finances together. And she can do them, or I can do them, but we found out when you share, it's better just about one person. So finally, then I just took that responsibility. But we found it got a little confusing.
Yeah.
Both of us. So I just had one person do it.
Yeah. So. We're working on finances now, Father.
On budgeting. Now I think that finances, that's not going good in our family, and perhaps it has to do that both of us are not spenders. You know, when you do that, then after 18 years you have everything under control or you're nowhere. But we are not that way, so you can go buy, you know, you use what you need and that type of thing. But I feel there is no control, and you know, with teenagers, one year from now someone will be. The oldest will be a student, that we better have it better under control. But I'm responsible. So I have it in my folder, and I have it already in my folder for some months. So I have more to do, also with finances, and I think, okay, now that can go by. But I'm not putting it on Bauke's shoulders because I am responsible. Now, that's a great help for her. But the day will come that I need some information and ask her, can you just write down what you spent? Well, to have harmony, then she should do that. That's obvious, of course, but sometimes after big struggles we figure that things out. The obvious. I'm still discovering the obvious. Yeah. Well, I'm responsible, one, for the household. Secondly, for the development of my wife. I'm responsible for the development of my wife. Now, that's quite normal when you are responsible for a company, or you're responsible for a part of the Navigator work. You're always responsible for the whole and for the people in it. Now, in a family, you have two kinds of people. You have the wife and the children. And you're responsible for them. And a verse that has helped me very much is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I got that verse from Bill Gothard, who talks a lot about the spiritual life, the emotional and mental life, and the soul, and the physical life. Now, I'm responsible for the spiritual, the emotional, and the physical, for the spirit, soul, and body, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now, my wife can help herself pretty good, especially with the spiritual life, but I could see that some wives have a very hard time to have quiet time, or to do some scripture memory, and as a husband, that you have to really help. With my wife, I think the area where I have to help the most is the physical. And it has to do with her basic motivation. It's very interesting that some people have different motivations. My wife's basic motivation is serving. And the problem is that when you get tired, you start to act more and more out of your basic motivation, whether it helps or not. So when Bauke gets tired, instead of organizing the children to do things, he serves more and more and more and gets more and more tired. And I think we have talked more about this than about anything else. But I can see that in another couple, it is not the physical part, but the emotional part or the spiritual part. You have to figure that out. But it helps me for my own life and for my wife to have three parts. Three different lives. When you are emotionally weak, a spiritual answer is not the answer. You need an emotional answer. For a physical weakness, You need a physical answer. You can claim promises that God will bless it, but for a physical need, you need a physical answer, and we sometimes forget it. Not with so much when we have an illness, but when we are tired. And said, Lord, give me strength. I can do all things with God, eh? Who strengthens me. Yeah, also to relax and sleep a bit more, or not. See, that type of thing. I've been thinking of myself. I said, now, Gert, what are the three things you are afraid of? And I came to what are the things you are afraid of? That was my question. And I came to this. I was afraid to have a heart attack. I'm really afraid of that. The second thing I found out later, you know, this is just a summary of what you come to, but I have an age that you do things like that. The second thing I'm afraid of, is a nervous breakdown. I've seen some people having a nervous breakdown, and it is not easy to recover. And some are always weaker afterwards. Thirdly, I'm afraid to give a message, and the people think, well, he gave it, he had to, and I think I gave it and I have to. I thought, what's that when you do things like that? You are not spiritual. But then I found out, hey, look, you are afraid to go over the border spiritually, over the border emotionally, over the border physically. And it was very interesting that I discovered, hey, I really live with these three areas of life. And that's something, and for husband and wife, it's not easy, because we have to our own responsibilities. But I experience this as a leader, this way. But I think it's not easy to help.
No, I have to communicate if you want.
Yeah.
If I want your help.
Now, perhaps you can explain, for instance, how we needed one evening off, how that was an emotional need, how you discovered that, and how it has helped us.
Yeah. Along this line, there were questions in the last meeting we had, and that was, what should be the attitude of the wife that the husband could develop her spiritually, emotionally, and physically? Because if she doesn't want to be helped, how could he play his role well? And we have had tensions in these areas. I didn't want his help. So in the beginning of our Christian life, I really have tried to work on teachability, that I should be open, that he could give me just advice and help me. And another thing, that I should express myself, because he can't guess what I need. And we had lessons in this area. It was in 75, I think. I had severe back problems. I've had it all the time of our marriage, but then it became very heavy. And I felt by myself I had not the courage to express what I had felt all the months before, that I was very tired, and the girl in the home put pressure on me, and I needed time with him, and all the things I had not expressed, I had not told him, because he has such a heavy burden anyway with the Navigate work. So I had tried to help myself in my own walk with God, and I thought I was happy in that, and I could manage my own life. But through this heavy back, serious back problems, and lying down for months, and being very weak the next winter, we found out that in this area I had not played my role well. I had not informed Gert, not given him insight in my needs. So how should he be able to help me then? And since then, we made an evening. We have an evening set from 7 to 10 every week, since 4 years now almost. And I don't feel ashamed that I need that evening, I'm very happy, and I know he's writing down that evening in his agenda before all the other things, and I feel free to share, I feel free to ask questions, and I write down the things that come up during the week, so there will be 3 full hours for just, we call it personal time together. And since then, I think it's a more biblical idea what the wife's role should be. I rather should be independent in my own walk with the Lord and not need him so much. But since that year, I've learned to express my needs. And I think I need to do it even more, but it's for sure we shouldn't be proud. Otherwise, how can he play his role well and really have influence in our development if we don't want to give him this freedom and just have an attitude of invite him to do it? So I hope I'll never forget these lessons along these lines since 75.
Since sometimes the circumstances make it.
Yes.
So we had an evening off when we had people in the home. And we had very busy area work. But now I'm a supervisor, so I travel a lot. Almost half the time. So when I'm home, I'm often free in the evenings to do whatever I want. And then we sit in the living room, but the children are there. And they are that old now that when they go to bed, then Bauke has no bright ideas anymore.
I just want to go to bed at the same time. What's your time together?
Yeah, so we figured that out, but that's the last thing what you do is an evening out when your children are not in the home.
Yeah.
But there are things you want to talk about that's not for your children. And then we have a girl, each year, a girl living in our home to help Bauke, because Bauke is involved in the ministry. And she should also have some help what to do with the girl. Each girl is different. And then she helps me in the ministry, so she needs to talk about that too. So there was real... So just the circumstances made us that little by little we make a bigger mistake. There was less communication, and the family is more complicated than ever before. So therefore, both of us understood why couples have the tendency to go to bed later when the children are older. So that's just the circumstance. You want to have some time to talk, and when you do not organize it, then you stay up later. Now, and that's not what we can do, at least Bauke not. I'm better than it, especially when I have not to wake up too early in the morning. Just circumstances. Does that make sense? So I had, you're responsible for the household, development of the wife, and the third thing I would mention is development of the children. So as a husband, you are responsible for the development of the children. The wife also, you are responsible as a team, but the ultimate responsibility is for the husband. Huh? Things went wrong with David, and it doesn't talk about the mother that did things wrong, it talks about David. He had not rebuked two of his children, like Absalom and the other, who had these 50 people running for them. I don't know whether you have ever studied David's life when it comes to raising children. Well, I've done a little bit, but I have a tendency to call the book How Not to Do It. See? He was a man after God's own heart. Huh? But we can make mistakes. You can be a dear Christian, but still make big mistakes when it comes to raising children. And Eli, his name was mentioned. Now, a lot of mothers do a lot of good. You know, you think of Daniel and his 3 friends. Perhaps they were 12 years old, 15 years old when they left Jerusalem. evil city. God said it has to be destroyed, too evil to keep it. And they were very godly boys, I suppose, princes. I suppose they had very godly mothers, and perhaps godly fathers too. So there's a tremendous influence that you can have as a mother. But I'm just talking about who's responsible. Well, the husband is responsible. Well, responsible for what? I have 4 points. 4 major points when it comes to the raising of children. And one is respect for authority. Respect for authority. So I'm responsible that they have respect for me, and when I'm gone, that they have respect for my wife, for Bauke. And I'm gone often. And it's very important that in no way they have the right to do anything what's against her will. And you have to start very early, especially when the children are 2 years old, that should be so clear as crystal. Mother is the boss when father is not there. And whatever you do with mother, but you better respect her. And no is no, and yes is yes. That's authority. Secondly, to live with the consequences of their own decisions. So the second point we are responsible for, that the children learn to live with the consequences of their own decisions. A good example, perhaps, is our youngest one, who tried to dominate my wife. He was a very little boy, 2 years old, perhaps, something like that. And he was a bit skinny, and he saw in Bauke's face and in her eyes that when he didn't eat, that bothered her very much. He was already skinny. And I watched that for a while. And I thought, that's going wrong. It goes wrong. You know, Bauke is too concerned, but it's not good for him. He dominates. And children, from the first time they try to be the boss, have you also? From the first day on, they try to be the boss in the home. It's just amazing how they try that. They're born with that gift, it seems. Huh? And I said to Bauke, he said, listen, let him not eat. You give him a little bit and let him not eat. Yeah, but he's too skinny. Well, see, and then sometimes as a husband you're a little bit easier. I said, you know what, I think before he dies because of lack of food, he just takes a little bit. And it was exactly what happened. And Bauke found him stealing bread between the meals. But now the point. To live with the consequences of their own decision. He could not eat between the meals. So he thought he has us, but we had him. You don't like to eat? Fine. But it's a long time before we have a meal again. And for little children, 4 hours or whatever it is, that's a long time. And when they learn that, and later on when they spend their pocket money, then they understand, it's gone. And now they get some pocket money here in the States to spend, but they're very careful with it. Because when it is gone, it is gone. They have to live with the consequences of their own decision. The first day they can buy something they like, but then they have to live 2 months and see all kind of nice things as a remembrance on the States, but their money is gone. You see what I mean? That. Thirdly, healthy self-esteem. Healthy self-esteem. Perhaps you can tell a little bit about Robert Jan, what he's done with self-esteem. So we have really made a project.
Yes. some children seem to develop more by nature that they have that. Between 6 and 12 years, I call it the years of building. Building the... let's see, how's how I'm looking?
Domestic skills?
Domestic skills. Building the... to care for their own stuff like sports gear and swimming gear, like thing, and gardening and all these things. And this is a big help in their building up their self-esteem, because then they know how to do things, to repair their own bikes, their own radio, electric things, and things like that. And building up a sport in their life they are really fond of, or a hobby, or both, or music, and things like that. The ideal years are between 6 and 12, and our two oldest, these things seem to come very natural. I had to work on that. I really trained them and challenged them and motivated them, and we had the money available to teach them a sport and a music. But the younger one, he seems almost... it was so difficult to teach him the normal skills and to let him come over, have the courage to take a sport, to choose a sport and music. And so for him, we had a special program that we called it together the encouragement program. And it was the only way, because he had a very fear of to be a failure. Even to close himself when he was 2 years old,
to dress
himself, he didn't want it. He seemed not to be willing that I taught him. That seems to be the same verschijnsel. When you have that failure type, that fear, and not willing to be taught, that's the same combination, and that's the most difficult you can have. Then only on a base of then when they have reached something, just put their socks on all by themselves or something very small, and you encourage them in that, that gives another possibility for do another thing. And if you don't follow this careful way of building up with you as a strong leader now and then, sometimes I've been too careful. He just needed you to say, and now you take your bike, you go around the circle, you step off your bike, and you'll have your reward. So sometimes he needed you to just be very strong, but most of the times he needed me do it very carefully and just going one step by another, do all the things like judo. Now he's a rather good judoka. But I trained him on our bed to do all his rolling, yeah. I taught him cycling. I taught him swinging. I all had to do it. And the other children, they just pick it up,
yeah,
by nature.
Swinging
on a swing.
But
He didn't dare to
dive
swim.
In the swimming
oh,
pool.
Diving. It was just terrible.
Everything was a big thing for
everything,
him. And he needs it more than anybody else to do something. I can swim or I can play, I can play a music instrument.
Now he plays the guitar. But it has been extremely difficult to teach him. But now when we see, when he didn't have this build up, now he is 12. Oh, I should say 13. He wants me to say that he is 13.
In August.
Yes, we'll be there in August. we should not have taught him. He should be so insecure because there's fear of failure and not being teachable. You see these boys just going down during their teenage years. And we have been very happy that the Lord gave us insight when he was 2 years old. And what our third child was. We really could give it a name, we could point it out. You came up with an encouragement program. I had to
execute it.
To execute it. But you made a program, and it was just... He is I think he develops well. So we are very thankful.
Yeah, and we talk with our oldest children, and that helps also. They said, oh, Robert Jan is, you know, that stupid. Now, not long ago, for instance, something happened. Now, that was a real blow. My wife and I were both gone to Scandinavia on a ministry trip. And we came home, and Johan said, well, it went well, except once I lost my cool with Robert Jan. Now, okay, what had happened? Robert Jan had opened the camera to see whether there is a film in it. And yes, there was one in, and he closed it. So, you know, Johan was quite angry, and he said to him, you have to pay that film. Well, and here is Robert Jan. Instead of saying yes, he said, oh, I will be stupid to do that, you know, and then whop. And so we came home, and I let it go for a while. That's one thing I learned, especially with little children. You have to be very quick, you know. Something has been wrong, you have to talk about it very quick, like with a dog, because otherwise they've forgotten and they don't understand that it relates. But sometimes when children are older, you can wait for a while. And I'm a bit careful. See, I'm a spiritual leader, and people come in my home, and some people talk about what I've done, or they tell the children and the lessons they learned. So I have to be very careful with my children, because they think, when Daddy starts, you know, I... See, then there is no room for them to maneuver. So I feel like at this age, I'm very careful what I do with my children. So I waited for quite a while, and I thought, now is the right timing. And I said, Robert, you had quite a blow-up, didn't you, when we were in Scandinavia? Yeah, he said. He said, what happened? Yeah, I opened the camera. I said, why did you do that? He said, isn't that dumb? Now, he likes coins. He said, suppose that someone says, well, let's see whether I can just make a hole in that coin. Yes, I could. Look, there's a hole in it. Then he said, yeah, I didn't know that you couldn't open the camera. I said, ah. So he was wrong, and I gave him two verses of Proverbs about not having a big mouth. But then I went to the other children, and I said, did you know that Robert Jan didn't know that you couldn't open a camera? And that made Johan different. But then he said, oh, you know, how is it possible that a boy from 12 doesn't know that? Well, I said, well, okay, he doesn't know, that's right, but wait. He belongs to the upper class when it comes to what he can reach in life. In the Netherlands, he can go to the university, but it takes a little longer. It took him longer with this, it took him longer with that, and he is not practical with his hands. But not all people are practical. And sometimes, at the last time, I think it was almost an hour that we talked, and that gives them understanding. Not to compare their brother with how they are, because he has other insights. The books he has written is read is unbelievable, Robert Jan, what he knows. But he's not at all practical. Yeah. But you see, it all has to do with leadership. So we are very much working on it in our home, at the table, for instance, to say, well, for Annemieke to have a friend, that's not easy, that's not something... you know, she has many friends. But for Johan, it is something. So to help them see that what's easy for the one is not easy for the other. And not compare. Because that is, comparing is often that you think, I'm this bright, and he's that bright, I'm more. Yeah, no, so you can, especially when you're bright, you can just compare everybody with yourself, you're always good. Yeah, that's one thing. But what about socially? Or what about being handy with your hands? Or what about serving? And so on. And when you can figure that out with your children and teach one another, say, well, we really can learn from Annemieke when it comes to really have endurance. Because Annemieke, it was very hard for her to make her school this year.
Now, Johan is bright, and he likes to talk about it also, and he feels so once in a while he just has to say how bright he is. But one night, Johan and Annemiek and I were talking about his behavior. When it is a bit too difficult for him, then he explodes. Yeah, and Annemiek said, I've watched you the last month, but it seems that you can hardly control yourself. She's 50. I was amazed. So it was very interesting what they talk. She said, you know, I come home and I have, well, we have a point system from 10 till 0, and she comes back with a 2. I said, and I have to sit and think about it, and then, instead of being controlled by my feelings, I have to just let my mind take over. 15 years. And it's very helpful. And to me, that's what I mean with spiritual leadership. That, but how do you get it in your family? When you talk that way with others, with neighbors and other family, that you point out, yes, there's a weak, but they're good in that. And they're good in that. Like we have neighbors, there are many things we don't like, but they have a good harmony in the home and with their grandparents and so on. And when you mention that at the table, you know, that you get that. But you have to really work on it. Well, then the fourth point, healthy self-esteem, spiritual development. The spiritual development, the basics. Knowledge of the Bible. And Bauke has given a lot of help here. And I, you know, the navigators, perhaps you know that, the navigators talk a lot about the worth of the individual. Well, I tell you, in the times that I spoke to big groups about the worth of the individual in the training camps, my wife was practicing it, giving herself to the three little children to practice badminton and ping pong, how to have a quiet time, how to memorize a verse, how to do a little Bible study. My wife has given hours, hours and hours to make reading programs. Johan had once a question, he wanted to read certain things in the Bible, and my wife goes to the Bible and what he wanted to know?
He wanted to know if the New and the Old Testament, what was promised in the Old, if it had come to pass in the New. So I had to make a reading program for him. And so it cost me hours to look for these portions of scriptures he could read in the morning. And things like that. He's an intelligent boy, but with his intelligence, he wants to go into the scriptures. And I think it was a good question at that time and a good motivation for him to read his Bible. He was 8 at that time. 8 or 9. He was 9. So, but this has cost many hours to make reading program for them. But I think it's worthwhile. Here is material. I had a group of housewives just last week, and they mentioned to each other all kind of material that's available here for children for memorizing. But we have nothing in Holland. So there was nothing available. So I had to make all the material myself. And we, with a friend, we made a Bible study for young teenagers from 9 to 15. And there's a possibility that it's translated.
Yeah, it will be translated next.
It's already translated now. And this one I've used for all of the children for years. I had them with their friends in this special Bible study we made for it. But it's not necessary to make your own material. And maybe it's my gift and it's very much on my heart. But even if there is material, there's much motivation and much time involved and much giving and make it a priority. What Gert said, I have not been in the meetings during these early conferences we had. I went traveling with him for 6 weeks, sometimes in the summer. But I stayed there with the three little ones. And when they were to bed, sometimes I was in a meeting. But to make it a priority. And during these times, I could teach them these special sports from the beginning and doing the spiritual things with them. That has been good with
Well, this was from yes. Examples. And I tell you, we are just a bunch of sinners, five, and we make all kind of mistakes, and it doesn't take me, you know, I have to go years back or months back to give you examples how we are not doing, playing our roles and sticking to the principles. But it has given us, I would say, a lot of harmony that when things go wrong, that we at least go to the principles, back to the principles. Where have I not taken the leadership? Where has Baukje not been willing to follow? And it's not that we pointed out so much to one another. That's not necessary. We both have committed ourselves, our lives to God. So we want to be a leader, and Baukje wants to follow. And I want to be the sacrificial type of leader Christ talks about. And Baukje wants to be the sacrificial type of follower, like Jesus. You know, Jesus was a leader, but he was also a follower. But it helps us, I think, a lot of harmony comes that when things go wrong, that we just accept that we are sinners, but that we go back to, what's my role? And that helps. Does that, you see that? Well, I think time is up.